We're live. What's up? You can ask questions.
Okay. So we were wondering when you want us to start asking the questions. Like question one, is Sister Lubna going to go straight into the program, or should we ask the first question first?
We can let her open it up, and then we can ask the first question.
Gotcha.
I got it, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm really excited because number one, you guys heard our talk before the program, and number two, I get to introduce the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's your boy Hassan Elias with another MYG event. I'm very excited because this is maybe one of the first events I've done since, I don't know, lockdown. It's been a while. But one of the main reasons I'm excited is because we actually have a new board. So for those that don't know, MYG actually announced a new board maybe about a month ago. Two of the sisters are actually that are on the board are here today, Sister Nadia and Sister Fatima. Sister Fatima is actually the president. We have Sister Nadia. If you guys remember Sister Nazneen, who was our old president, we have Nazneen 2.0, which is her younger sister, Sister Nadia. Very, very excited. Today's topic and today's program is feminism and Islam. Before I begin the program, I actually want to introduce Sister Nadia. So Sister Nadia has been on the board now for 4 weeks. It's actually going to be her first time emceeing. So if she messes up, it's actually my fault. But I think she'll be good to go. And we actually have a guest speaker tonight, which Sister Nadia, she'll be actually introducing her. But I'll let Sister Nadia take over.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone, and welcome to our Friday program. As you know, our Friday program this week is Islam and Feminism. And I would like to introduce our speaker. Sister Lubna Yusuf Mullah is a motivational speaker and community educator. Lubna is the former National Thurabi Director of the Muslim American Society, where she is still an active member. She has been working as a youth mentor for the past 2 decades in multiple capacities. Lubna has lectured extensively nationally and internationally. Additionally, Lubna serves as an IOK Muslim chaplain at UCLA and is a member of the board of directors at the Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research. In addition to being a mentor, Lubna has written to myvirtualmosque.com and the Mass blog. Lubna is a recent graduate of Chapman University with a Master's of Fine Arts in Screenwriting. She is the creator of the YouTube channel Double Shot Mocha Productions, where she strives to promote social awareness through humor. Lubna was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. She graduated from California State University, Northridge, in business administration with a focus in accounting. She worked as an accountant for 10 years until she began her career as a mother. Lubna moved to Egypt for 3 years with her husband, Sheikh Sohail Mullah, and her children, and studied Arabic, Quranic recitation, and Islamic sciences. And Lubna Mullah currently resides in Los Angeles, California, with her husband and 4 children.
And by the way, one thing she didn't mention is Sister Lubna is actually an avid adventure seeker. I actually went on a trip with them like last year, actually, and it was super duper awesome. Sister Lubna, we're very excited to have you here tonight. And just for everyone that's going to be joining us, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, whether it's on our Zoom, this is going to be a talk show style. So if you guys have questions, feel free to bring them in. We actually have a bunch of questions because this has actually been a hot topic. So we're very excited. Sister Lubna, it's great to have you tonight.
Jazakallah khair, and thank you, Brother Hassan, for that, the adventure trip that we went on was excellent, alhamdulillah, and I saw how quick of a runner you are, mashallah, with 35 pounds of gear on you. That's amazing. And Sister Nadia and Fatima, thank you for that lovely intro. It's my pleasure to be here tonight, and I'm excited to talk about this subject, a very hot title, Feminism and Islam, or Islam and Feminism. I'm going to let the ladies take over and ask questions, but just as a starter, it's really interesting when an ideology or a way of thinking has a label, and and that what we understand is feminism. And speaking with a feminist scholar one time, and this is actually a few years back, and I wasn't even seeking this answer, but I didn't know she was a scholar in feminism, and she taught that at the university. I was having a conversation about having children, and she's like, by the way, feminists don't all agree on the same ideology, and it goes by many different definitions. So that being said, I would just like to start the evening tonight, Bismillah wa salat wa salam ala Rasulullah. First, after giving our proper salutations to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did want to start off the night by saying, subhanAllah, Islam has all the components that's needed for fairness to men and women, for justice, preservation of health and wealth. I won't just leave it as that. We're going to dive deep. But it's so interesting. Those two words, in a sense, almost become redundant. You know, that really the idea that women are empowered and emboldened with rights given by their creator is already part of Islam. So, but we'll leave that as a kind of a hot appetizer, and then we'll get into it, inshallah.
Oh, I love that. So, you know, as we were actually putting the event together, we had posted the flyer, and, you know, we started getting questions, messages. So, you know, I had someone that messaged me. They're like, hey, should you guys be doing this event? Like, you know, there was a very long paragraph. I was like, this is great. We can address some of these things. So, you know, I know Sister Nadia has a few questions. Sister Nadia, do you want to start off with the questions? Do you want me to start with one of mine?
Sister Fatima would like to start. So,
assalamu alaikum, everyone. So I think, like, just like Brother Hassan said, it's very true that this is such a hot topic and we see it all the time in society today. But my first question is, what role do women play in Islam? Because like we said, there's a lot of misconceptions about women's place in the world and especially in Islam. And I think as a society, we see a lot more prominent males in the Islamic community, like leaders of Muslim majority countries, the prophets, Sahaba, things like that. And we don't really hear a lot about women and the roles that we play in Islam. So can you like elaborate on that? Tell us about it.
Yes, absolutely. SubhanAllah. What is the role of women in Islam? It's a big question and it deserves a little bit of time. Jazakumullah khairan, Fatima, for asking that question. You know, the Quran says it all, you know, or it gives us a really good idea. What's amazing when we think about Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Isa, the mother of Jesus, that she has a whole title in the Quran dedicated to her. She is praised for her chastity, for her, you know, being able to stand up and being able to, you know, keep her faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asiya is referred to in the Quran as one of the two best role models for people of all time, not for women, not as role models for women of all time or just at the time when the Quran was revealed just to the Arabs in the peninsula. No, to all people for all time, the wife of Fir'aun. And we understand that her name is Asiya, for her standing up for what is right despite the role of her husband. We have so many figures, and I know that you're going to talk more about that later. So we see there is no, you know, corner that Islam tries to fit women in. They are our role models. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all of the praiseworthy elements, he was sure, as we know in Arabic, a group can be addressed and it can be a group of men or a group of men and women together. So there is no particular, it is not necessary, at least in the Arabic construct, and that has nothing to do with patriarchy, okay, for all the people who are like, okay, it's part of the language. No, that, you know, many languages that a group is referred to as a group. But specifically, because the women wanted to make sure, were we, you know, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, held equal? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of the famous verses in which he addresses the fasting men and women, the believing men and women, those who prostrate, those men and women, those who give zakat, those men and women, you know, all of the different attributes that were given specifically were addressed to make sure that people understood that in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, men and women were created equal. They have their role in politics, they have the role in the community, they have the role in the family. Why is it that sometimes we have, you know, we may say that, okay, even if you were to look at some of the figures that we see in maybe the Muslim community, why are they majority male? Or sometimes that's who we see. Sometimes that can be a system of what we're used to and what we're comfortable with. Sometimes that can be, and speaking as someone who tries to give back to the community, sometimes the reality is women are wearing many hats, and for some women, I'm not saying for all, because again, it's different life choices and life situations that people find themselves in. That's not always possible to be out in the forefront all the time. not because we're restricted by Islam, but because of a life stage that someone's at, whether they're studying or whether they have a family or whether there's a situation going on, that can be the reason why sometimes we see more male figures highlighted. And like I said, sometimes it's just a trend that needs to be reversed, that our minds are understanding that men and women have equally important voices to be heard in the community, to see as role models. And alhamdulillah, we definitely see that changing.
Perfect. You know, it's really funny. I know you said wearing multiple hats. One of the reasons I wear hats is because I'm actually balding. So kind of different, but a little joke. So one question I had was, you know, sometimes there's a distaste when it comes to the actual movement. And it sometimes it can come from the opposite sex, but maybe I think one of the misunderstandings that may be occurring is that the modern day feminism movement and then also Islam the and also the prophetic guidance, like where are the clear similarities and where are the differences? Where are some things that are like, yo, no way, and this is like, yes. Does that question make sense at all?
It does. Okay. And, you know, and I think it's important to take a step back, Jack Mohren, for proposing that question, because it is important that whenever we hear people talk and present ideas, for us not to be quick to judge and put labels on people. Yeah. So, you know, it's somebody can maybe, I'm going to give an example, promoting you know, something that needs to be corrected in the Muslim community. And they are requesting that maybe the voices are heard from the women in the community, or that there's, you know, appropriate prayer spaces for you know, that are, you know, presentable and make it appealing for women to go to the masjid, to be able to share this space. You know, different issues. And sometimes what happens is that people label, oh, well, she's a feminist. And then that just kind of like, as if that's a black label. Again, that's a broad term. There's nothing in and of itself wrong with that term. I want us to kind of not have a hot response. Like as all three of you said, you kind of got some hot responses. Like, what are you guys, what are you guys, liberal and going liberal on us now? Mm-hmm. All you feminists out there. So that's, you know, I want us to be, whether somebody calls themselves that, you know, I'm a feminist. If you mean to say, you know, ask them, what do you mean by that? Or what does a feminism mean to you? I think that's important because, again, it means different things to different people. Even feminists would not agree what that means. Do we mean it that Muslim women should be empowered as humans, equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He has ordained them to be? And, you know, or is there other aspects to it? So I think that's important. I just kind of wanted to make sure I don't want to use the word overreact, but maybe just not have such a quick response. Either if we're putting this label on someone or someone self-identifies as a feminist.
Yeah. It's good that you mentioned, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, what does because like feminism might mean something different to someone, like not everyone's going to have a different definition.
Yeah, absolutely. Does it mean, you know, for some people it means, you know, it's really promoting equal pay for the same job. Yes, I would agree with that. If someone were to say, you know what, everything in life has to be equal for men and women to be, you know, to kind of have equity or to be fair. And it's really interesting, even when it comes to parenting, and I'm not putting those on the same line, but there's a lot of things where fairness would not equal equality, meaning this is the same, likeness, I should say. There's equity in the fairness, but not equality in terms of you have this amount and you have that amount. Should there be equal pay for the same job? Absolutely. And we see that disparity, unfortunately, in America. The one that says, you know, unfortunately, you know, you have some, Islamophobes that would like to pin every malady that exists in human society and pin it on Islam. Whereas we, you know, human society suffers from a lot of social injustice, you know, all over despite religion, and it's people, right, are the ones that will mess things up, not the religion and not our creator. So anyway, that being said, men and women are physically different, hormonally are different, neurologically wired differently. You know, subhanAllah. So can we say that all things must be exactly the same between men and women? Then I would say, well, now we're talking about something that's not practical and not within the realm of possibility. And I want to give a quick example of this. You know, for example, I've been on both sides of the coin of, you know, I happen to have children, right? And I'm married, alhamdulillah. So I've been on both sides of, I've stayed at home and I've not worked. And I have also worked outside of the home. What's so interesting, and I feel like sometimes as a community, we're affected by some of this idea that to be empowered, you must be outside of the home. And if you're at home, then you must be somehow enslaved or you're following the stereotype. We have to, as a society, you know, uphold the honorable different ways in which women, you know, live in this world, right? Whether that be solely at home and not having, you know, they're not married and they don't have children. Maybe they're educating themselves, or maybe they are, you know, at home and they have children, or maybe they choose to work and they have children. You know, whatever it is, as long as it's in agreed upon within the family structure, right? You have shura. And same thing with men. If a man were to say, and he's the head of, you know, and he's responsible, we're going to talk about that. And if he's responsible for providing income, which he is legally responsible, Islamically speaking, it's like, you know what? I just want to take this year off and chill. You know, I'm tired. Why don't you go work? You know, we have a couple of kids, but I don't see you doing much. Why don't you? That would not be appropriate. That would have to take shura. What if she got a job? He didn't have one. It worked out. There was no usurping of rights in any way. That works for that family. So there is no particular corner that women need to be pinned into. And there's no particular definition. There's multiple definitions of feminism. So something for us to be aware of. But when it comes to upholding women's rights and empowering them, Islam, you know, Allah's the first one. SubhanAllah.
So you're saying it's possible to be a stay-at-home dad?
Yes, absolutely. Upon agreement, of course.
That's awesome. By the way, guys, Sister Lubna is dropping some big time gems. I would highly recommend to take some notes, because some of this stuff, you never know. It might be something small that may go over your head, but if you actually write it down, right, even if it, whether it's on your phone or on a notebook, you'll remember it next time, inshallah. Like, sometimes it's very hard to, you know, we go to Friday khutbahs, we have Friday night events, you learn something, and then it's Saturday, and you're like, yeah, I did something cool on Friday, I don't remember. But it's always good to take notes. So if you guys aren't, I'm taking notes.
Alhamdulillah.
Cool. Sister Nadir, Sister Fatima, do you guys have a follow-up question?
Not necessarily a follow-up.
Okay.
So another point we wanted to talk about was, who are some women in Islamic history who have traits we should embody? Which is a really good point, because we hear about prophets' wives and prophets' daughters, but we never really specifically talk about what are some traits, what are some things we should take from them and put into ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. SubhanAllah, if you were just to take the few women that you just mentioned already, they embody so many qualities that are not only, you know, qualities that women should look, you know, use as a role model, but really all of mankind, all of humanity should look to as role models in terms of being, you know, giving to the community, you know, foregoing their comfort. Think about Khadija radiallahu anha for a minute, that she was a very wealthy businesswoman. You know, she had a lot of wealth. She grew up in a luxurious fashion, or I should say very well off fashion. She was very comfortable. And imagine that from her own wealth, after she was married to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and after it had become, you know, he had openly invited people to Islam, and the Meccans were implementing the boycott against the Muslims, they were starving, right? And she ultimately died from you know, sicknesses due to starvation. She donated her money to those that were less off, less well off, that did not have much, they could not eat. She gave from her own wealth. You know, that's like the ultimate sacrifice, right? And some people, men or women, in times of tribulation, if their someone in their family is sick, or there's a loss of wealth, or, you know, sometimes when a couple loses a child, you know, that's cause for a breakup. in a family, you know, or said like, I don't need this, I'm out of here. She could never say that. But I'm just saying, imagine somebody in Khadija radiallahu anha's place saying, you know what? I love you, but I'm out. You know, I don't want to suffer and struggle this way. I wasn't brought up this way. But look at her character, that not only did she stay by the side of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she lived in that impoverished way and out in the desert and without all of the refinements that she was used to, even though she had the money for it, she always donated to the Muslim cause. So not only did she stand by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she also supported and gave of her wealth. You know, we have Hajar alayhi salam, the mother of Ismail, when she was dropped off in the desert by Ibrahim alayhi salam, with barely, you know, some accounts say that he just dropped them off and walked away and just nodded when she said, did Allah ask you to do this? And he just nodded, or he may have said yes. But imagine the fortitude of character and strength and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will take care of her despite having nothing. No shade of a tree, no food, no water. I mean, just a little bit of food and that ran out, right? A little bit of water and it ran out. And she even had to nurse Ismail. And not seeing any structures or people, nothing. And leaving it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, those are the qualities. Being upright. Subhanallah. Being generous. Fatima alayha radiallahu anha, she was also known for being very generous. When she got married, you know, she had one thobe. And when she got married, she had the thobe that she was gifted with. And somebody who was not very fortunate in terms of wealth had come up to Fatima and radiallahu anha and said, I know that you just got married and so you have a new thobe. Can I have your old one? Fatima radiallahu anha gave her the new one. Subhanallah. Qualities, we could go on and on and on. But again, they're not only for Muslim women or just women, they're for humanity to really reflect upon. And what's beautiful is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on this earth not only the prophets, who were all family people and lived on the land to be role models for us, but their families as well. So we really get to see true life application and not something that's theoretical and not something that we just hear about. We see how it played out in real life.
A question that came in as you were speaking, I just sent it to you, but if you'd like me, I can read it out loud if you want.
Please.
This says answer live. Okay, it says, as Muslims, are we not allowed to follow feminism since both genders have roles in Islam that we follow?
So again, you know, I could make a blanket statement and say, you know, we don't follow feminism, but what is the definition of feminism that you're referring to? If it's to be you know, there are some feminists that say a woman has the right, you know, if she doesn't want to have any children, that's her right, that she doesn't want her body to be changed in that way. Again, you know, are we going to say, you know, when we look back at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a woman has the right over her wealth, if she owns any land or her business, the right to choose whom she wants to marry. Nobody can force her to marry anybody. The right to, subhanAllah, accept and fall and practice Islam, in the way, you know, the five pillars of Islam, she's equally responsible and nobody can force that upon her even. SubhanAllah, even the practice, we can't force it upon anybody. So I wouldn't take a label and just say feminism is haram. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, what are the issues that we're talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes depending on the group that we're in or a class setting, you know, we like to talk about very defined roles in Islam for men and for women. There are some things that a hard fact, for example, that the man is responsible for, you know, providing for his family, for example. Does that mean a woman could not also work? No, it doesn't mean that. Ahlan wa sahlan, like, you know, welcome. She can also work. And if she wants to give from her money, that would be considered charity. It cannot be forced upon her. Like I said, the husband's like, yo, I want to take a break. Why don't you go work? He can't force that upon her. And can a man say, you know what, you know, when someone's getting to know somebody for marriage and say, I prefer that my wife doesn't work. You know, whatever it is that you want to talk about before marriage, you should definitely work it out. Where do you guys want to live? Who would like to be, you know, planning for, are both of us are going to work in the beginning or what have you? You have that right in Islam, but a right is not something that you hit over the head. You know, for example, a man can say, I don't feel comfortable for these particular individuals to be in my house when I'm gone. That is something that, for example, you know, there's a hadith about that. Does that just mean now he's going to call and have a camera in the house and keep calling his wife, who are you with? No, this is like obsession. This is something sometimes that we take a concept that might even have some, that may have different applications depending upon, the time that we're living in. And we just go with it. And then we have these very different woman at home, man work. Man, woman should have no voice. The voice is out. No, who said that? So sometimes we have these, these hadith or these cultural concepts that people have taken and solidified as a modern Islam. And that's absolutely wrong. So there's very few things that are so well defined. Are women the only ones that can physically have children? Yes, they are. They are the only ones. So if you're going to have it, you guys have to decide who's going to take care of the child. That's something you guys talk about ahead of time. Obviously, naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, certain tendencies more in one gender than in the other. So naturally speaking, that would be agreed upon. Are you sending them to daycare? Is the woman going to take care of them? Does it work out because of certain familial situations that it would necessitate that a man would be with the child more? So there's no hard and fast, this is your defined role, she will cook and clean and serve the man and the man will just come home. It doesn't work like that. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, and to kind of follow up on that, so is there when it comes to, I know there's so many different definitions, but maybe for the modern feminism movement, are there, I don't know if this helps to clarify that question or maybe a follow-up, but are there blatant things where they're like, hey, these things with the movement, these are some things that are no-go, and these things are cool. Does that make sense?
Yes. Without having,
I know it's very it's almost complex.
Yeah. It's so, I've always, whenever I've talked about this subject, I've kind of come across, what are the general, a general understanding of feminism, but specifics, unless somebody has a specific that might be more helpful, is this allowed or not? And perhaps it's something that we can, maybe in writing we can discuss it with a little bit more research on my end on what are all the different shades. That's why I kind of generalized more so.
Okay. So if you guys do have any specifics, inshallah, if you can type it here or we can do a follow-up later as well. I hope that helps if there's still some, lingering doubt or anything. Cool, JazakAllah khair for that. I was gonna say something and I totally forgot.
I had a follow-up question to something that we discussed earlier. Alhamdulillah, you gave some really great examples of women in Islamic history that were so powerful and exemplified just amazing traits that we should try to embody. And earlier we were talking about how a lot of the times we really only see men in society today as in the Islamic community, as these prominent figures, leaders, prophets, scholars, imams, all that. So I was wondering, do you have examples of women in today's society, in modern times, who are Muslim women who are good leaders, prominent leaders, scholars, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. SubhanAllah, we could talk about so many women, even locally. If you were to talk about Sheikha Muslima Purmul, who studied and is a scholar, Fulbright, who studied in Azhar and in, various universities, mashallah, you have people like Zahra Billu, really fighting for civil rights in, the political spectrum and the civil rights realm, who works for CARE. You have Maryam Ali, the daughter of Muhammad Ali, the boxer, who works in the inner city, actually in the valley, trying to create peace and peaceful conflict, teach conflict resolution for gang members and help ex-gang members. You have Bilqis, who was playing basketball professionally and stopped when they refused for her to wear hijab and play ball. You have Ibtihaj Muhammad, who was a medal winner for the Olympics. You have Maryam Amir, who's used to be also Southern California, now she's in Northern California. And mashallah, she's just an amazing role model, again, for all of us, not just for women. Very learned, also graduated from Azhar, amazing. You have Ustad Aisha Prime, who's a scholar in her own right. She's on the East Coast. You have so many people in different aspects. Sister Bibi Khan, she's in Dallas, and she started not only a women's shelter for abused women, but also a community-based therapy center for people to be able to access culturally sensitive mental health. and also, you know, be able to service women that have been in abusive relationships and be able to you know, seek help and resources. And the list goes on and on and on. There's so many women, and sometimes it's just what gets highlighted, and sometimes it's just, it's hard to know because there's so much out there, you know. And there's, like, you know, Tawakkul Karman, she was the first female Nobel Peace Prize winner. Very young, amazing, wearing hijab, and even the journalists. Oh, excuse me, just 1 second. Oh, I'm sorry.
Good. By the way, I don't know how many of you guys remembered any of the names Sister Lubna said, but they're also on social media. So, like Sister Maryam Amir, these are people that you guys could follow online, and they lead by example. So a lot of these sisters, and what I would recommend is, if you don't remember the names, you can go back on YouTube, watch a recording, and get those names, learn more about them as well.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. And like, you know, for example, it's so cool. Tawakkul Karman, when she won the Nobel Peace Prize, journalists had asked her about her hijab and said, you know, isn't this holding you back? Isn't this kind of a sign of backwardness? And she just threw out this answer. It's just unbelievable. You know, she had made a comment that, you know, in the caveman days, human beings started off less clothed. And as a sign of civilization, people became more clothed. So what you see here today is a progression and of civilization. They're trying to say that you look uneducated because you wear a scarf. And she just kind of blew them out of the water with her response. So, I mean, really, these people, mashallah, we just have to, you know, when it comes to our programming, when it comes to the education that we receive, whether it's Sunday school or you know, in community events, it's also kind of on community organizers to make sure we include not only female speakers that, of course, that do work and are knowledgeable, not just for the sake of having female speakers, but also make sure that in our Sunday school settings and our other community informational settings that we shed light, because that's another way in which we can promote this positive representation of women, not only in society, but in Islam. There are so many things living in the West. When I see billboards of, you know, there's a discount on getting the perfect body, and it shows a silhouette of a woman, you know, or I could just talk forever about that. Or when I look at movies, you know, I have my YouTube channel, I got my master's, alhamdulillah, in screenwriting. So we watch a lot of movies, and now I watch it more with a much more critical eye. And I was like, wow, when you look at older movies, we still have the problem, but it's much better. When you look at older movies, the way that the man always saved the day and women were like always scantily clad, you know, and they were just there as eye candy. I mean, it's incredible. If we were to talk about misrepresentation of women or women represented in a, you know, non-empowering way, man, that's in every society. So, you know, and alhamdulillah that God-given rights are there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a certain society twists or bends things, it's not in the name of Islam. It is, due to the, you know, following the whims of human beings and their own desires, so.
Deep. We gotta preach too. Sister Nadia, do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, I did. In fact, we hear about, just as you said, like there are so many amazing examples of women in our society who have made change. But as a young woman myself, what are some things I can do to help contribute to the change or make a different change?
Fantastic. I would really say this to everybody listening, you know, men and women, and just kind of reminding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it incumbent upon all of us to educate ourselves. So, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, whether we have more resources or not, alhamdulillah, to the best extent that we can, without having to take any loans or anything like that, educate yourself. Educate yourself in what you're passionate in and follow your dreams down a career path that you're very passionate about. It doesn't mean, when I say career, some people equate that with like, oh man, that just means she's automatically not gonna have a family. Let's stop boxing people in. The very first word that was revealed in Islam was Iqra, read, right? So educate yourself, and then you're equipped, right? Men and women, you're equipped now to do what it is you're passionate about. Do you wanna give back to the community? Do you wanna go into a certain field where Muslims or maybe a particular ethnic minority, or when, you know, when we have all these titles, you know, as a Muslim woman, you know, with from whatever, a dash, you know, Egyptian American or Pakistani American or African American, that's not a really a dash in terms of Americanism, you know, being Black or being Latina or whatever it is, you know, whatever ethnicity that we have, or minority group that we come from, you're representing now in that career or in that field or in that volunteer kind of arena, you're presenting your voice and the world needs to hear our voice. So I say, you know, I won't even pinpoint something and say, oh, you have to go into this. Do what you're passionate about. Be confident in what you're doing. Men and women, as long as you're doing things in an honest fashion, in a modest fashion, yes, both men and women, in a modest fashion, and you know, you uphold, you know, you know, what's acceptable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of dealing financially or, you know, ethically speaking, being in the right places, not putting ourselves and say, oh, I really want to change the bar industry, you know, the bar meaning not the legal industry, but me like alcohol, you know, so we wouldn't put ourselves in situations that are not right and say, well, I want to fix it. That will be so empowering. And I know that this is kind of going into more of like a parenting type of thing, but I know sometimes our parents will steer us. And of course we want to take their opinion because they have very valid opinions on, like, you know, what's going to be helpful for the long run, what's going to be useful. But I always say, get involved, whether it's on a voluntary basis or something for your career, in something you're passionate in. And then that way it's something that you will look forward to doing. It brings you joy. It will help prevent, you know, some of the pitfalls of mental illness when we're unhappy. And for some people, it's like for the rest of their life, because like, oh, because my dad or my mom made me become this engineer or this whatever. I'm not downing that. Some people love that career, but I'm just giving examples of what parents typically may encourage their children to do, and then they're unhappy. People will be successful in whatever it is that they're passionate about. So I encourage all of you to educate yourselves. Whatever it is that you're interested in, that you reach out to those people that are in those fields so that you can learn from them, and you don't have to, you know, you could save yourself years of heartache by doing that, inshallah.
Is there, like, do you know of any resources or any like organizations that we could like maybe partner with or educate ourselves through, any programs that would be beneficial to us, especially as youth?
Now, would you say in general or for particular like leanings, like potential opportunities? I know that CARE, for example, they do offer, but I'm not sure about the age range, that they do offer like summer intensive, a leadership program, a Muslim, I think it's called MYLP, Muslim Youth Leadership Program. I'm trying to think of what other organization.
Or is there like any books or like articles we can even read up to educate ourselves, maybe specifically in regards to this topic?
About following your passion?
I wouldn't say not about following your passion, but about like feminism and Islam. Like if people like, should we be educating ourselves in that regard?
Yes. Okay, Yaqeen Institute, plug in. They have a lot of really deep articles. Sometimes people, Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research, you'll find them on Facebook, Instagram. If you go to their website, they have really deep articles for people who like to know the ins and outs and why about a particular subject. Sometimes it could be 15, 30 pages long, but you will get like all the hadith and the ayat to support an idea. And there are definitely ones about women in Islam. I believe they have, you know, one probably even labeled with that term feminism. Very excellent resources. And then sometimes what they do, some people just kind of want not that deep, but just more of a gist, not that they can't get deeper, but do they want like more of a summary? So a lot of times they'll take content and they'll break them down into animated videos or just shorter pieces. So yeah, you will definitely be able to enjoy a lot of good information from them. Top-notch scholars, mashallah.
Awesome. By the way, everyone, Sister Lubna is part of Yaqeen Institute. Just want to put that out there. It was a shameless plug. It's okay.
And alhamdulillah, I'm not one of the amazing scholars. I'm just on the board trying to help support in the way that I can. So
I think Sister Nadia had some follow-ups.
Yeah, so, well, first, you mentioned MYLI, which, or MYLP, which me and Nadia actually participated in this summer.
What?
Yeah, I mean, we called it MYLI because this year we did an intensive over the weekend because of COVID, so it was all virtual. But still, it was a really great experience, and usually you go up to Sacramento for it, so if anyone's interested in that, CARE is definitely a great resource. We did another program, MGN, Muslim Game Changers Network, so there's definitely a lot you can do in terms of resources. But I had another follow-up question. So we've been talking a lot about feminism, but, you know, in the name, we say feminism, which implies female. And a lot of people that I know or come across to speak to about the subject think that feminism is only a topic that women should care about. So what do you have to say to men? And, like, why should men care about this too? And how can feminism benefit them as well?
Yes, absolutely. So again, just a reminder, if we were to say, like, women in Islam or... empowering, or understanding the role. I don't know. No, those are terrible titles. Those are bad titles. Forget about all that. But I just want to remind that again, it's such a trigger word for some people. The word feminism. So I would really say, let's talk about the role of women in Islam. Let's talk about their mark in history. Let's talk about the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. It is extremely important. Yeah, people, this is a really important subject for both men and women. Why? Because sometimes it is these understandings, many times. It's these nuanced understandings that we just kind of get from the media about Muslims, right? That we're somehow these backwards people, astaghfirullah. Sometimes from our culture, influenced by cultures, certain cultures, yes, have different understandings. And sometimes they place it on Islam. There are some familial practices that, hey, you should be, you do your thing. I did my thing. You do your thing, right? Like women, you should be doing this. Well, women should be in the kitchen or, so all of those understandings are out there and they can be really detrimental because, what it's doing, it's pigeonholing women into a particular role. Yes, like I said, naturally speaking, there will be, if there's two people that need to raise a household, there will definitely be natural tendencies that maybe it will be beneficial for a woman, to raise her children. Does that mean that if the husband and wife had agreed that she's going to stay home, raise the kids while they're young, and he's going to work, does that mean when he comes home, he's going to yell at her because dinner is cold because the baby was throwing up all day? Or is he going to be like, woman, where's my, how come you didn't iron my, no. So we need to understand what are the roles in Islam. They are not pigeonholed as sometimes culturally we see, or how the West tries to portray Muslims, and that has affected Muslims. So I also wanted to throw this out here too. Let me finish that thought, then go back to the pointing out. For us not to propagate those same and pass down to the next generation, those same misunderstandings and promote some, and sometimes those misunderstandings will further maybe put more emphasis on men versus women in terms of like, oh, well, he needs to be educated and you don't. You daughter, you don't need to get educated. Or there being that understanding that, we should be happier if we have sons and we should be sad if we have daughters. These are the old fashioned, but I'm bringing them up. I'm just giving some examples of ideas why discussing the role of women and their importance and in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their equality. Why it's very important for this to be a community subject. I'm so glad you guys made it a community subject because if we don't, we're going to have these misconceptions in our head and we're going to, have this name calling. We're going to have this disregard for, I don't want women to start hating on men and say, oh, those patriarchs. I don't want that. Right. And I don't want men to be like, oh my God, look at those feminists because they're asking for a better, place in the masjid or they want another female speaker on the panel. Right? We don't want this name calling. We want to have a respectful, mutual respect for the mutual contribution to society. What happens in home, that's different, right? And again, it's not so pigeonholed as a lot of people would make it out to be. That being said, oftentimes we have to understand a movement will be a reaction to something that was not going right to begin with. So we have to understand when people start to use, this is the patriarchy or, we feminists, we must unite and we must, overthrow the sexist society. Where is that coming from? It's coming from women that felt that they were pushed to the side, that they were spoken over, that there was inequality when it came to the workforce, that came to pay, when it came to a healthy respect, you know, for the different roles, whether they be at work or at home. So so understanding that sometimes this, you know, these type of movements come as a reaction. So we have to be able to look into the mirror as a society and say, what are things as a society, not as Muslims, not meaning not stemming from Islam, but maybe our misconception about what is coming from Islam, and then on top of it, like I said, family and culture, and including this culture, though, the living in the West as Americans, you know, what is it that we are taking in, and how is that contributing to women to be like, hey, no more, no more of this. So I hope that makes sense.
We have a question from the audience, but before that, I just want to ask a quick follow-up question. So you said that a lot of times we are told what to do based on our culture preferences because of what has happened generation and generation. So my question is, how do we break those bounds and talk to our elders about not feminism, but yes, how, well, really is about feminism and how to approach, like, we can do it like that too, you know? So yeah, we don't... Sorry. And we don't follow the stereotype of what women are supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to, when it comes to opening the conversation with elders and our own parents, I think it's important to come from the place of, this is how our seerah taught us. This is what the seerah has taught us. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. So come from an Islamic. I wouldn't use the word feminist if I were you, feminism, because it is a trigger word. It can mean a lot of different things. But the ultimate empowerment and the ultimate rights is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. That verily the most honorable of you in the eyes of Allah is the one with most taqwa. Not male versus female, female versus male. So it's not our gender, it's not our wealth, it's not our ethnicity, the language, the color of our skin that makes us special. It is our God consciousness. So, you know, so I would always drive the conversation, the focus on education. You know, now that being said, am I going to say that the way our society lives is fair? Like, so I'm going to give you an example. I would never tell my son, stay out all night and it's okay, but daughter, don't. But the reality is, and this is sad, the you know, just being out in the dark, I'm not saying women should never go out in the dark, but unfortunately, I was just listening to NPR the other day, and women in the military talking about how they were told by their superiors, when you're on base, you have to look over your shoulder, go with the buddy system so that you don't get sexually assaulted by your fellow military. I'm not condemning the military. I'm just saying, unfortunately, can't change this fact that unfortunately women would be the, you know, on the receiving end more so for sexual assault, for example, right? You can't change that. Am I going to be blind to be like, but I am fair at 100%? It's not about fairness. It's about the reality. So I wouldn't necessarily just say, hey, stay out, you know, or go out on this errand at night. I'll say better not. Just do it in the morning. Like, why? You know what I mean? So there are realities. Or for example, if someone says, you know what, Lubna, I am interested in having a family, but I also want to do this super intensive degree that's going to make me not want to talk to anybody for marriage for 10 years. I will say, well, if I were you, I would either be open to talking to somebody during your study, or just understand that the reality of how, you know, men and women get married in society, not because we have a patriarchal society or men and women, just the reality of it, that if you shut the door and come at a certain age, unfortunately, that trend is, it's harder to find somebody to get married. And that's not putting anybody down. I'm talking about, you know, kind of like how the society works. So that being said, I'm not going to, you know, let's not be oblivious to kind of trends in terms of how the world works, but let's definitely promote our rights and you know, our quest for education and for our role to make a change in the world, while taking in those nuances that are just part of life. Can't change them. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was really awesome. I don't think we have any other questions. If anyone does, you could speak now or forever hold your peace.
There's a question in the Q&A chat if you want to address that one.
Is there? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Bismillah. Why are Western feminists silent about how Islam treats women?
I would say, you know, I can't speak for other people, but I would say, honestly, oftentimes people will, people are fed, you know, a certain viewpoint and it becomes very popularized. And, you know, if it goes against things that you're very passionate about, if you're very passionate about upholding women's rights and you keep constantly seeing, oh, women in some part of the world are forced to wear burqa, women can't do this, women can't do that. Obviously those images are going to get stuck in your mind, even though they may be not representative of Islam as a whole. And not only that, not ordained by Islam at all, like a certain cultural practice. I'm not talking about like how women dress, but whether they're forced to wear it or not, you know, things of that nature, or what they're allowed and not allowed to do, and how they're treated. So unfortunately, you know, for some people, it can be misinformation. You know, that would be giving husn al-dhan to people who, you know, not only have misinformation, but they don't have the information to know about Islam. So if I already have this negative view that, oh my God, this religion is the antithesis of what I believe in terms of women's rights, why would I now go and research what rights Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to women, right? Like, so unfortunately, I do think, I would say, give a generalized answer and say it's due to the misinformation, the misconceptions that people have about Islam due to what's propagated the most in the media. You know, media is very well known for, you know, sensationalism and showing and re-showing things that people will want to see. And it's not always going to be, most of the time, it's not going to be the correct thing. Or it's, I'm not trying to do like the don't trust the media type of thing. I'm just saying that historically, when there has been a minority or an emerging minority that, you know, what people, there will always be a group like Islamophobes who will try to show like, no, don't listen to these people. They're crazy. They're backwards. And unfortunately, knowingly or unknowingly, people get influenced by that. So we as Muslims really have to do a great job in making sure our youth know how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and our history and what people have done as Muslims, like, you know, like being a Muslim, what are the great ways in which we've contributed, not only in the golden era of Islam, but now and today and in recent, you know, the last few hundred years. Because unfortunately, we start to become victims of Islamophobia. We start to believe that we're backwards or that we're misogynist. And it's none of that, subhanAllah, none of that.
Yeah, I think you brought up like a really good point is that there's a lot of propaganda going around about Muslims, especially in the USA and the Western cultures, Western media. And I think that's why it's so important that we're doing this too, because we are representatives of, yeah, we're representatives for the Muslim community. And so when people come to us to ask us these questions or confront us with their maybe biased views or opinions, we need to know what we're talking about. So thank you for speaking on this. You've done an amazing job. I think we're about almost ready to close off, but I had a question for you since you're obviously so educated on this topic, mashallah. Is there anything you think that we didn't address that you feel is very important to understand or to know?
That's a great question. First of all, you're too kind and you're, there's always more to learn. So hopefully I can contribute more, inshallah. Is there anything else? No, I don't think there is. And I think we did talk about it from a lot of different angles. And again, just as a reminder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. He has created men and women equal in his eyes in terms of their Islamic, you know, or I should say spiritual responsibility. He obviously and definitely has created men and women different in terms of their, you know, physical differences and, you know, chemical differences. So I think a mutually respective relationship in the Muslim community and as a way of looking at our Islamic history and our, you know, our seerah and the Quran, always looking it through the eyes of justice on the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and look and speaking about the opposite gender with mutual respect, I think is so important because I know on private chats in different groups can start, you know, have name calling or like, this is this kind of guy or this kind of girl or always trying to be respectful, you know, what you put forth in terms of positive energy, inshallah, as we continue to do so, hopefully that will come back to all of us, inshallah.
Inshallah. Sister Nadi, Sister Fatima, you guys have anything else?
No, I think that was really good. Thank you so much for all this wonderful information.
That's awesome.
Yeah, let's want to reward all of you for putting this together, mashallah.
I mean, I feel like we all need to go on like an adventure hike with your whole family and all our family group. You've been stuck indoors.
That would be amazing.
Lead us for our annual MYG hike. Is it annual now? I think you should lead us for our annual MYG hike.
Yeah, you'll invite us, inshallah.
Sister Lubna, jazakallah khair for your time. Do you have any parting words or anything you'd like to add?
No, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you that are watching. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always put the truth on our tongues and make it very apparent to all of us, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair for your time. For our live attendees and for those that will be watching the recording, jazakallah khair for your time. Make sure you take notes. Sister Lumla, jazakallah khair again for your time. Sister Nadia and Sister Fatima, you guys killed it. That was awesome. Had a good time. I learned a lot as well. Every Friday night, we're doing programs. So just make sure, find out a way to plug in. Every Friday night, MYG is still going strong. Doesn't matter if there's a pandemic. Doesn't matter if there's a tornado, earthquake. MYG is still rocking. So we're there. Jazakallah khair for everyone's time. May Allah bless our time. Make sure that our knowledge that we're learning is beneficial to us and our deen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.